You know, in a real way, as I was watching that dance, that's the way God wants to dance with His bride. That's the way the Father in heaven looks at you and I as a church, as that little girl that's in the twirls. It brought back memories in our worship as we've journeyed together when the little girls used to twirl up here during worship. Now they chase boys. So I'm really going to encourage you all to embrace the moment of life that you're in. Fathers, one of the greatest mistakes that we can make is wait to be a father. And so I really want to encourage you, as I thought about what does it mean to be a father, but what does it mean to be connected to the Heavenly Father, it drew me out of Galatians and into chapter 11 of the Gospel of Luke. And the disciples were with Jesus, and Jesus had been praying, something that Jesus did quite a bit in His journey here on earth, which ought to clue us in. We ought to do that quite a bit. If we're really going to be a father, first thing I want to challenge you to is you must be a father of prayer. Now, ladies, I don't know why it is, but you all just naturally connect with prayer. And I don't know if we men, it may be kind of like that direction thing. You notice how we don't ask for directions easily either. How many of you men have driven at least 25 to 30 minutes out of the way, proving to your wife that it was a shortcut because she had... Why do we pray? There's multiple reasons of why we pray, but today I want to focus on this. We pray so that we might know God's direction. We pray so that we might know God's direction. The toughest thing in fathering is this. We will constantly be tempted to want to make our children like us. We'll want them to have our identity. They carry most of the time the father's last name. We'll even say things to them like, you're an Ayers. You're a Smith. You're a Johnson. But really, our task as fathers is to find God's direction for our children. It says there in Luke chapter 11, the first phrase, and daddies, I can't tell you how important it is. I can't tell you how excited I am about Hillview Heights Church. First of all, it's filled with the Holy Spirit. That's the first thing that makes me excited about it. But I want to tell you something that makes me excited about this church. There are men here in this church. I mean, real men. And that may say, well, there's men in a lot of churches. No, there isn't. I wish I could tell you that's true, but that's not true. There's not men in a lot of churches. Over the centuries, we have feminized the church to the point that we really pushed males out of the church. The church is a place for men and women to faithfully worship God and encounter His direction. One of the things I love about Hillview is in this church, it's got some guts. We don't have a lot of tea parties here. We don't have a lot of frill. One of the reasons is I can't find any in the Bible. I can't find that in the Bible. But the Bible is chock full of stories of men and women and fathers who stood up in the name of God, made the sacrifice so somebody else could get better behind them. Fathers, if there's one thing I hope that you lock onto is this, your job will never be done. Your job will never be done. Out of all the things you do, you know what? You know how long people will remember that I'm pastor of the Hillview Heights Church? About 2 days after I'm gone, they'll say, who was that old guy? Used to talk to us some. Because God will already have a new guy in here, and he's unloading, and he's on that next vision, and he's rolling. I've told you many times about those plaques we live for. They go for 25 cents at a yard sale. At the Hillview yard sale, I witnessed a table of them sell for $1.50. That was a table of them. You know those plaques that we stayed on the phone too long for, and stayed in the office too long for, and stayed at the workplace too long for? Well, there's a living testimony in front of you at all times. It's your children. They're your living testimony. If you really want to know what kind of man you are, look in the eyes of your children. Many times we look away because it's too truthful. Because we cannot hide when we look in our children We cannot hide who we are, and we cannot replace it by what we do. It's who we are. It comes out. Now, here's the good news, man. If you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, if you're committed to God, if you know Jesus has saved you of all your sins, then guess what? You will release the Holy Spirit on your children. I'm not saying you'll be perfect. God knows I'm not perfect. But you will release what? The Holy Spirit on your children. So the first thing I'm going to encourage you to do is constantly pray for direction. Now, fathers, if you've been given the gift of a daughter, how many of you realize you don't know? You don't know. Blake, I knew some. Not all, but some. But when I got the beautiful Clacy, I was excited because I said, I've never understood women. And so I was excited that God was giving me a shot ground up. From ground zero, from day one, from first breath. By the second breath, I was lost already. But it's to seek God's guidance. And even when we don't understand, it's not about us understanding so much as it is about us transmitting God's direction to our children. And there's no way to do that unless you pray. And we got to learn how to pray. And the first thing that we need to pray for is the Father. We need to recognize the Father in that position. Now, men, I'm not going to preach at you today. I'm preaching with you. I want you to know how significant you are. Right now, you can look at the world and you say, man, where did all this chaos come from? It came from the same place it did in Israel. In a moment of history a long time ago, God cried out, this is a fatherless nation. And I think that was twofold. Because when you leave connection with the Heavenly Father, you'll always scramble the earthly reality. The earthly reality of fatherhood. So, fathers, I want to thank you today for stepping up and being men of God. Can you all just celebrate for a minute that these men are in church this morning, loving Jesus, singing songs? Thank you for being here. I see many of the children have drifted in on Father's Day. Father's Day, let me tell you what, that's not a testimony to them. That's a testimony to you. Now, men, we don't talk a lot of times, do we? To be honest, most men in families, we don't talk all the time. Now, Clacy may argue that point in our house, but you know what? When we do speak, it better be connected to direction. I want this for you. And guess what fathers need to learn how to say? No. No. We're not going down that road. We're not going to be a part of that. That is not going to bless your life. And I'm here to bless you. If you look at the Bible, what's the primary role of the father?
Leader.
To bless his children. To give the blessing. But if you got a little girl, she needs to hear she's good looking every day. Guess who she needs to hear it from? Her daddy. And let me tell you, daddies, if she doesn't hear it from you, she's going to drag some bum in the house. And when you see him coming, you look and go, oh, my goodness. First of all, how can I defuse this? But second of all, I'm going to tell you what. Bums attract bums. I want my children to have somebody that has the direction of God. How many of y'all pray that desire? How many of y'all pray for your children about who they're going to marry? Huh? When did you start praying for your children's spouse? I started at the first breath. This is a serious situation. I remember when Clacy was born, she came out, she's missing some parts. I was like, oh no, what am I going to do? You know, she took that breath and she screamed. And I looked at her and I said, young lady, I want you to know from your first breath, I am concerned about who you will date. And Elizabeth goes, oh, my goodness. I said, I am. I'm concerned about who Blake's going to date. I want their life to be what? Blessed. I want it to be blessed by God. Now, I live with this kind of paranoia. All week long, I deal with relationships that have been blown apart. And so it even makes me more paranoid. If I see things going on, I'm going, this is not going to work. It hasn't worked in 30 years. It's not going to work in 31. And my child is entering, taking that first step into a place where there's not a blessing. And I think we ought to lead people to blessing as fathers. What do you think? I know it works. My father blessed my life. I'm a very privileged person when I speak on fatherhood and I speak on family. I'm very privileged. And I realize that not everybody had these kind of fathers. But I want to share with you, you be one. Here's what I tell people. If you had parents that didn't come through, you stop that generational line. You be the one in the name of Jesus Christ. It's going to put a standing stone right there in the middle of that chaotic situation and say, you know what, God? I'm going to lean on you to hear your direction and we're going to change this family line. How many of y'all can give praise for the people that broke the cycle in their families? You know what? Our Father who art in heaven. Our Father who art in where? How holy is your name? So the name of Father, the name of Yahweh, Elohim.
Yep, that's him.
That name connects with a title, Father. In the Greek, it connects with this title. You and I are so privileged, we can cry out, Abba, Father, Daddy, Daddy. Daddy, Daddy. And we need to listen to Daddy so that we can receive direction that will bless our children. Now, here's what's so exciting. This is available to everyone who believes. How many of y'all just hear that? This is available to everyone who believes. So do not be without direction, but trust the Lord. He goes on and he says this. Hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Now, Father's one of our responsibilities. We do this well in South Central Kentucky. Nathan will go over this with men. And I say, what's your primary role in the family? I'm provider. Now, y'all work with me here a little bit. What does that mean in Kentucky? I'm provider. How do we interpret that?
Money.
We do. Well, now, I don't know what her problem is. I don't know what the woman's problem is. By gosh, I bring home a check once a week. I bring in a check. I come in. I give her a check. She's got groceries. She can pay her rent. Everything's good. She gets to get her some new shoes every once in a while. My kid's got clothes on her feet. I have provided. You have just begun. Let me tell you what you provide, fathers. You provide atmosphere. You provide attitude. You provide encouragement. You provide direction. How many of you fathers have noticed? We can mess up a house faster than anybody. You know why? No matter what anybody says, no matter how we liberate ourselves, these feminists can talk until the cows come home. It is what it is. God has an order, and that order stays in motion. How many of y'all found we can't change God's order? You ever seen a hurricane stopped? You ever seen somebody take an anti-tornado machine and suck it out of the atmosphere? It is in motion. God put it in motion. A man needs to lead. I do not apologize for that, and you need to hear that. And guess what? Every one of you women ought to want them to. Because when your father leads, the mother is lifted up as a radiant bride. And the household is blessed and the children prosper. Now, Let me tell you something. You watch it. When the order is reversed, hell is on its way. Every time. I have never seen an effective family with that order reversed. Sons don't know how to be men. Women don't know how to relate. And the children are in chaos in a deep identity crisis. You see, when I talk to God, I call him Father because I know he's providing direction. Now, I'm very aware that God has a mothering side, too. Thank goodness. How many of y'all glad God's got a mothering side, too? God can do both. He can direct us into eternity, and He can sit us on our lap when we skin our knee in life. But Father, give us this day our daily what? Bread. You know who's really providing for us? God is. How many of y'all believe that? God is. That ought to bring you hope. God is. How many of y'all going to trust? God is. Give us this day our daily bread. How many of y'all ate this morning? You had some food. You had some provision. You had some bread. How many of y'all had some bread? Even if it's a Kellogg's granola nut bar or whatever, right? Father, give us our daily what? Bread. I'm going to depend on you, God, every day for what you got to do. Now, what do you got to do to be connected to God every day? You got to pray. You got to pray. Fathers, wake up in the morning. Lord, make me the man you've made me to be. See if He doesn't answer that prayer. Make me the man you've created me to be. And God, may I be a man that stands in your integrity, your truth, and your grace. God, make me what? Make me the man. Watch this. And here's what's so cool if you're a believer. God, make me the man you've already made me what? Me. Guess what's in you, Keith? The greatest father ever. Because who's in you? The greatest father ever. What do you think about that, Dr. Blevins? You wake up in the morning when you get ready to go work on somebody, you need to just lean over one of your patients and go, do you realize I got the greatest father ever in me, and He's fixing to fix your teeth? We don't look at it like that, but really we got the greatest father ever in us. So guess what? This is what's so neat. God cried out in the Old Testament, where are the fathers? Jesus answered in the second covenant, the Father of heaven is permanently with you. Lo, I will be with you to the end of the age. How many of y'all glad to know that we have a Father that won't leave? We have a Father that doesn't walk out of the door. We have a Father that's not drunk at 5. We got a Father that's on the job all the time. I don't know about you, but that excites me. So that means anytime, first shift, second shift, third shift, it doesn't matter when you get up, God's on call. Our Father who art in, how holy, hallowed is your name. Give us this day our daily bread. Be in the provisions of God. And then you know He teaches us, understand you're forgiven and forgive others. If you're going to be a great father, guess what you got to learn to do? Forgive. Children, guess what you got to learn to do? Classically, what you got to learn to do with your father? Forgive. How many of you fathers are man enough to tell your family when you're wrong? Let me tell you something. I'm going to get down to nitty gritty. Some of y'all going to get, you're going to get, rah. If you can't admit your fault, then you can't understand your grace. Need to write that one down, Mark. That was good. That was good. If you can't admit your what? Then you can't understand your grace. It's amazing what I'm watching going on in theological circles. A lot of these grace talkers, and every one of them are perfect. Watch what it says. Our Father, forgive us our sins. And He has. For we also forgive everyone who sins against us. You want to have a Father that's providing direction into the house? Then don't live with grudges. How many of y'all found your children are going to mess up? Any of you fathers found your children going to mess up? I'm going to connect you to fatherhood. I mean, how many of y'all have ever been disappointed? Now, some of you, I've seen you be too disappointed. Especially on athletic fields. How many of y'all have ever gone through this? Fathers, chill out and encourage. How many of y'all have had that little 9-year-old and they struck out? That's not a time to do batting coaching. Guess what? That's the time to do. You're my son. You're my son. You struck out. You know why fathers are so anxious at making sure their sons are in the glory all the time? It's because of their father's own insecurity. It's amazing. I hear these fathers tell me all about their star athletes. Hey, guys, you better shoot it straight now. There's an internet. You can see what people have really done. You know what? It doesn't matter what they scored. It matters that they're your son. They're your daughter. Encourage them to receive the blessing of what? God. Be careful. Forgive us our sins, God, and then may we also forgive those who have wronged us. Sinned against what? Us. Now, see, you got to know these three things before I can go on to the next part. How many of y'all are willing to be fathers of forgiveness? Let me show you what a big reflection that is. If you can be a forgiving father, when your children read about the Father who art in heaven, what do they connect?
Forgiveness.
Yeah, because guess what forgiveness does? It translates the blessing. Think about this. You and I cannot receive the blessing of heaven unless we're forgiven by Jesus Christ. Because our own merit will never bring us to the point of God's grace. So when we receive Christ, now we're connected to the Father, what? Who art in heaven. But we had to be forgiven before we could be connected. Fathers, if I could encourage us to do one thing. Forgive your children and stay there with them. We have a biblical example of that, don't we? The prodigal son's father. Guess who he was reflecting? The Father who art in heaven. There's a good chance you might have some prodigal behavior in your children. Anybody beside my father relate to that? Beth Ann, it just took us a long time to get her back in. I don't know who y'all think I was talking about. Yeah, your fathers stand at the driveway. I see the prodigal son. I put it in our context. I see the prodigal son, in the father of the prodigal son, I see him going to get the newspaper every morning. You know how fathers do. And they fold the paper a certain way, tuck it under their arm, and I see him looking, and they get that brow on them. I can do it now. I've been a father a while. And they don't think too much where he or she is. They think about them returning. You know, I think that's the way God thinks about us. Not so much where we are at the moment, but where we're going to be in Him. And He stands at the edge of heaven, looking into the earth, going, come on, believe, receive, be forgiven, be changed, be transformed, be made new. Fathers, let's take on the challenge. We ought to make new stuff around here. And I need big old gritty, burly, manly Navy SEAL fathers. Fathers that can stand up and say, by the grace of God, I'm not going to hurt you, but I could. Now see, that's when it's got teeth in it. I could hurt you, but I'm going to what? Forgive you. Fathers, we got to be men of strength. I want to tell you what, one of the greatest strengths is to admit your faults, receive God's forgiveness, and forgive others. That is a strength. You're going to do things wrong. You know what I love about Hillview? Over 20 years, we've messed up here, hadn't we? Made some mistakes. You know what we're able to do at Hillview? I didn't have to blame anybody. I could say, we made a mistake here. And we got to seek God and get the direction after the mistake. And guess what God's always graciously done? Okay. Now, here's what's neat. We didn't go back and make the same mistake again. Because God's grace keeps us moving toward heaven. Isn't that neat? So forgive. And now I'm going to tell you what we got to do. You got to ask. There should be no father in here with a shortage. Ask and you will receive. Ask and what? You'll receive. Look what He tells us fathers to do. I want you to ask. So I say to you, ask and it will be given you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. Fathers, ask Him. Dear God, help me be the father I'm supposed to be. If you don't know how to be a father, God, teach me how to be a father. I don't know anybody that knows how to be a father. Do you, Bert?
No.
I remember you and I started at about the same time. You went first. That's why your hair left before mine did. Mine's following up. Bert and I were basically, we're two young men trying to raise these kids. I mean, we'd go on camping trips together. Sometimes our wives had to forgive us because the tents didn't go upright and we did not present a fatherly direction. It was hot. And we were going home. But then we stayed in there anyway. Moments. Fathers, don't miss the moment. When you want to back out of the situation, ask the Father, Father, help me stay here. If it's a dance recital, Father, jazz me up about this. Fathers, here's what you do. This is tough. Here's the number one thing you need to ask for. God, I do not want for my children what I want. I want what you want. That's one of the most difficult things I see going on in fatherhood in this modern era. We want our children to be like us. Listen, if they don't play ball, guess what? Celebrate what they do. Not everybody's going to play ball. And everybody knows this. Nobody's going to play it for long. Y'all seen all the Pee Wee superstars? None of them were drafted. In fact, I look and I laugh at the guys that go on and even finish a college career. Very few. Very, very few. And then I think about all the energy and all the money that's poured in to kick a ball, hit a ball, throw a ball, or shoot a ball. Did you know there's people a lot more committed to make sure their kid has a level swing or can kick properly than they are to making sure they find Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior? And guess what? It'll be over quick. I've never seen an old professional athlete. And if you're a football player, 32 is old in the NFL, isn't it, coach? So you better have something besides that. But you just need to be careful, fathers. It's one of the things I always loved about my dad. My dad's a brilliant man, and he did not require that of me, obviously. But you know, I would have been a miserable child, and I probably would have been crazier if my father had sat me down as soon as he came in and said, "You're going to learn to study and write like I write and study." If he'd have forced me to be him, I'd have never been me, and I'd have never lived my life. Now, do you understand it? Fathers, you don't force your children. You what? Bless them. So ask the Father in heaven. If you don't have it, ask Him for it, because it's a guarantee in Scripture. He's going to what? Send it. He's going to send it. Look what He says. "For everyone who asks receives. Those who seek, find." Be seeking God's will for your children constantly. Open doors. Knock. If you want to see life go, guess what? First you got to ask, then you got to seek. And when you get up to the moment, guess what you got to do? You got to knock. How many of y'all ask God, then you seek God, and He says, "Knock on the door," and you go, "I don't know about that." Because when you knock on the door, what's going to happen? It's going to open. Now, when the door's open, what happens the moment the door's open? Responsibility. You got to step through. Now, fathers, you can do a good job. God already knew you could do a good job. Look what He says here. Luke chapter 11, verse... Something's wrong with these lights up here making these words fuzzy. verse 31. Jim Britt, that ever happened to you, Reverend Britt? They have some bad lights when you was preaching before. About this age, they get worse, don't they? I'd put my glasses on, but I look a lot like Merle, and it scares me when I do that. "Which of you fathers..." Now I'm going to ask you fathers this question that Jesus asked. "Which of you fathers, if your son asked for a fish, you'd give him a snake instead?" Now, what's the obvious answer to that? None of you. So be careful, guys. When they ask for fish, something that has nourishment. If I was saying this today, if your son asks for a steak, don't give him potato chips. Don't give him something empty when he needs something full. Fathers, here's what your children need more than anything. I'm going to be very blunt. Your time. Now, one of the things I love about this 20-something generation is you all are getting past all this baby boomer baloney. This is what I used to hear as everybody went through 5 divorces. Well, it's not the quantity of time, it's the quality of time. Y'all remember that bogus, you know what that, just junk. Garbage. Well, what I've learned to do is be the one-minute manager with my child. That's why they're in jail. You managed them right in jail, because watch this. That attitude says this: I am more important than my children. Now, guys, most of you all have done a great job in here, but you pray, because guess what? I want you to know something. The day you have children, your time went out the door. So don't have them if you need all this time. And you need to be reflecting. Do not have children. If you don't like being stressed, do not have children. If you do not like being bothered, do not have children. If you like going to bed early, do not have children. Beth Ann, am I saying it straight? Children! Take your life. And it's a blessing. Some of you fathers need to make this trade. It's just for a little while. You've heard me say this before on a Father's Day. It's a big Father's Day trade. Guess what? Some of you guys need to move from the sand trap to the sandbox for a little while. Now, let me tell you what will happen. If you'll move to the sandbox in just a little while, they'll move to the sand trap with you. And then just a little while longer than that, you won't want them at the sand trap anymore because they'll beat you. How many of you fathers, other than Jim Martins and I, are real excited about when your sons beat you in a game of golf? For me, it didn't last long. Andy, I remember Pap. He's about 101. He'd beat you like a drum ever got stuck. I used to laugh. Pap would come off that because they had a relationship. And you got to have that relationship for a long, long time. Because when you were little Andy, he dropped an investment in. And when he became an old man, the dividend came in. I told somebody the other day, they said, well, what do I do with my kids? I said, my dad had an interesting system. I said, every Saturday I worked with my daddy. And the stories I remember were planting trees and potatoes and corns. I can garden. We mowed grass. And I remember he'd get real excited when he'd get a deal on fruit trees at Woolco. And if I'd have been real good that day and I'd worked hard and we'd worked hard together, guess what the reward was? A Big Mac on Saturday night. I remember as a kid when a Big Mac was a Big Mac. And I liked it when I got a Big Mac and all my brothers and sisters got hamburgers. In fact, I would open my Big Mac box up slowly and go, special sauce. Ain't no special sauce on them common burgers. I made sure they knew. Those are the great stories. It wasn't moments where my dad handed me material things. It was moments when I asked for a fish and he gave me a fish. And he said, how many of you fathers, if your sons asked for an egg, you'd hand them a scorpion? You see, we do that when we give them our direction and not God's. I really believe that. Pastor Eric, I believe that. You see it in a lot of these 20-something men. Those young men, they wanted an egg, and guess what their daddy gave them? A scorpion. Let me show you how you do that. They needed a moment of encouragement, and they got more criticism. It's poisonous. Any man that beats his children down does not have the privilege to be called a man. Two things. I'm going to tell you right now. There's two things I have zero toleration of. There's a man who mistreats children and a man who mistreats a woman. I think they ought to be taken out in the car parking lot, forgiven, and then spiritually disciplined. Because I live under this theory. Every man needs to be whipped once. All y'all that are good men, I guarantee you stuck that head out one time. And you balled up, and somebody jacked it back one time, and you learned forgiveness. Yeah. Third grade, everybody needs to be whipped once in third grade. Now, I know we can't do that anymore, Ms. Goff, I understand. But things were better when we had one good fight in the third grade. Because guess what we learned? I ain't as bad as I thought I was. And I know men that I have to work with never got whipped in the third grade. I'd like to provide that for them now in their adult life, but I don't. I hold back. There's only one Father that knows everything. Guess who He is? God. And He tells us to ask and we'll receive. Guess what He tells us? If we as earthly fathers can give good things to our children, how much more? How much what? More does the Heavenly Father give to us? Look what He says. Or if He asks for an egg, He'll be given a scorpion. If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who asked Him. Happy Father's Day. And here's what I hope you're encouraged in. Be fathers filled with the Holy Spirit. Love your children. And it starts with this. Love their mama.
Amen. That's right.
Love their mama. Love their mama. And when you love their mama, how many of y'all know this mama gets the edge? They always go to mama. How many of you daddies notice that? Here's the way it works in our house. Elizabeth is kind of like the House of Representatives. She represents Blake and Clayton. They don't ever come. I have not received a direct question ever. How many of you fathers ever gotten a direct question? It goes to mama. She comes in and does preliminary work. And then I'll see her. She'll act like I don't know what's going on. They sashay back into the kitchen. And they go, what kind of mood's he in? Then Clayton goes, you think he'll let me go? Because Glacy does not like this word. No. One time I gave her an O and she reared up. And I said, I'm going to tell you what. Ain't no man going to put up with that rearing up. She goes, why'd you say no? I said, I'm trying to help a fellow male out one day down the road. Fathers, you ought to live with your daughters in such a way that your son-in-laws aren't going, what kind of man were you? You also ought to bless your daughter-in-laws. Somewhere down the long, your daughter-in-law ought to be able to look at her husband and say, I know where you learned how to be a father. I know that's where I learned it. My father was tough. He was loving. He is directive. He was purposeful. And here's the greatest gift he gave me as a father. I've walked the planet now for 46 years. I cannot recall one single time that my father hadn't done exactly what he said he was going to do. Not one single time. If you were grounded and it was for 5 days, it was for 5 days. There was no parole for good behavior. It was 5 days. If he said that he was going to get your attention, he got it. Now, guess what that does? It allows you to know that the Father in heaven means what He says too. So fathers, here's what I want you to know. If you're backing off to make your own self feel better, you're not translating the blessing to your children. Give them everything God wants them to have. So let's look at what that is. First of all, God wants your children to be saved. Isn't that great news? How many of y'all glad to know God wants your kids to be saved? So guess what, fathers and mothers together, if you got some prodigals running out there, guess what? Keep standing at the driveway in prayer. Ask God to bring them to the end of the driveway. And if it's been, you go, well, Pastor Steve, you don't understand. It's been 20 years. No, you don't understand. God's got forever. He's got forever. Some of the greatest men in this church used to be some of the craziest prodigals. Now guess what they are? Elders. You walk it back 20 years ago, they'd go, oh, they'll never make it. And now not only are they making it, but they're translating blessings. Be careful. Don't write anybody off. Number two, fathers, encourage your children always. Bible leads us to that. Encourage, encourage, encourage. When you correct them, encourage them. And guess what will happen? The blessings of God will go with them. Because here's the thing. All the things you've done, I hate to disappoint you men. How many of y'all have even found this in athletics? Nobody remembers how you played but you. And you lie about it. Nobody really cares how much money you make but you. There's one title you will die with. Father. Board members won't be there at your funeral. They'll probably be busy doing things. But I tell you who will be there if you've passed on the blessing. There'll be some children. And they'll either say this, well, that's over. Some of them do because there was never a blessing passed.
Some of them say this, "Daddy, I'll see you in a little while. Thanks for sharing Jesus with me. We'll meet again." That's the greatest blessing I know. Today, if you don't believe in Jesus, it's been very clear and crisp in this section of Scripture. Ask and you will what? If there's a father here that's not saved, I hope today you've been encouraged today at this moment on this Father's Day to start the life of blessing and say, "Lord Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of my sins. I ask you to forgive me." And guess what God will do? He'll forgive you because His forgiveness is already in motion. "Lord Jesus, I believe you died on the cross. You've risen on the grave. Lord, I ask you to come into my what? Life." And man, your fatherhood will do a 180. And your children will be called blessed. It's the greatest thing that happened today. Fathers, if you have not been baptized, guess what? Man up, step up, and get baptized. If you're a believer, be a confessing one. Step in there and say, "I'm going to be baptized. I want my children to know who I stand with. The Lord Jesus Christ." Amen? I stand with the Lord Jesus Christ. Third thing is this. How many of you today need to... I have to ask for this constantly. "Lord, keep me focused on what's important." You know what I've done occasionally? I have to confess this. I don't know if any of y'all have ever done this. I've let this church get more important than my children before. Any of y'all ever let your job get more important than your family? Any of y'all ever had that happen? Well, guess what? Instead of feeling guilty about that, you say, "Lord, I'm sorry. I got out of balance here." How many of y'all have ever gotten out of balance? "I got out of balance. God, now don't pray this unless you want to do it. Lord, balance me." That's a man's prayer. "Put me in proportion of how I need to be investing your time." God will do that. I see a lot of you with your families today. This would be a great day. Fathers, they need to hear you pray. They need to know you walk. And they need to know you'll stand. Because before you know it, all fathers got to walk down that aisle if they got little daughters. And all fathers got to stand there and see their sons take on a wife. And if that happens, guess what? If that happens, and they're with the right one, the godly ones, you passed on a great blessing. Keep passing it on. Amen? Keep passing it on. So, dads, thanks for being great dads here. I want you all to encourage other men to be in church. Ladies, I love you. I thank God for you. But guess what? If we don't have men participating, then we're missing a big chunk of the family. They're not to control, but they are to lead. And we got to step up and begin to do that. Make sense? We're in a leadership void. Everywhere I go, we're in the need of leaders. People that'll stand, ask the Lord for direction, and make a difference. So stand with me. God's willing to make a difference today in your life. I want to open this altar. You come right now. Lord Jesus, just open this time. I pray for these fathers. Many of them have been at it for decades. Some of them have just started. But Lord, we pray that you bless every one of them. Lord, we ask for direction and clarity. We ask if any person in here needs to receive you today or to be baptized, that's going to happen on this beautiful Father's Day. So, Lord, just open this altar. May the Spirit be released in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Come on.